to Next in Nonprofits. I'm Steve Boland, and I am very pleased to be joined today by Ann Neese, the Director of Science for Submittable, and Sam Kaplan, the Vice President for Social Impact for Submittable. And Sam, thank you both very much for joining me today.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Steve.
I got some information about some work you've been doing in the AI field on how it impacts nonprofits' thinking and tools, and I'm really excited to dive specifically into that. But before we do, I'm wondering, Sam, if you could just introduce us a little bit more to Submittable. I've been using the platform for years for the clients that I work with, but for people that haven't used that particular tool and set, what is Submittable? What do you do?
Yeah, well, I'm super excited that you're familiar with us. And for those who may not be, so Submittable is a social impact platform. And we've been a company for around 10 years. We have sort of two main software applications that we develop. The first in our key application is a grants management system. So we have somewhere around 1,000 different grant makers who are using our platform. And if you are a funder or a large grant maker, that could be at a corporation or a private foundation or even a government agency, then you would use us to host your grant application, to allow nonprofits or even individuals to complete that application, looking for funding, review those applications, and eventually make a decision, and even eventually send the funds all through Submittable. Over the last 18 months or so, Steve, we've also introduced some corporate social responsibility software into the marketplace, and this would be around employee giving and employee volunteerism.
Outstanding. So, Anne, in your role as Director of Science for Submittable, you have some more specific responsibilities within that platform, part of which is this AI conversation we want to have. But can you just tell me a little bit more about what your role is there and what work your part of the group does?
Yeah, sure. So for AI, I think there's a couple of big pieces. One, of course, is getting AI out into our platform so that people can use it. But the other big piece is helping us as an organization understand our position and how we want to handle AI and how we want to approach it. And one of the biggest things, you know, that's important to us is that we're with our customers on this AI journey. And so making sure that internally as an organization, we know and understand AI and how to talk about it, but also making sure that we're setting up resources for our customers to help them along that journey as well. Very important part of the work.
And within that framework, as I was approached to learn a little bit more about what you're doing, I understand you've helped create some very specific principles to help guide how you think about that within both the people you're serving in the broader context of the community. And as I looked at those, I thought that this is such an important thing for any charity that's thinking about how they use AI in their daily practices to kind of go through. The first one of those on your list was empowering. How, can you start us off, Anne, and then Sam, as you feel jump on in, but tell us a little bit about how that word comes into the conversation about your intentionality of how a charity might use artificial intelligence or machine learning tools.
Yeah, I would say that empowering is really the core of it. You know, it's not just what we want to do with AI, but it's where our platform started. Our platform was to enable grant makers and grantees and help them do their work more effectively. And that's fundamentally what we want with our AI as well. But there's a really important piece about empowering that I think is also important to call out, which is empowering means that you're still retaining autonomy, right? You're still retaining the ability to make decisions. And so when we think about it, it's not just about giving them tools to do things faster or more efficiently or more effectively, but it's really about making sure that we're also keeping them in the driver's seat of that process.
So give us, I'm sorry, Sam, I'm going to jump in real quickly with Anne on this again before I ask if you have any more thoughts, but how does that get enacted in the world in the terms of Submittable? You know, let's talk about the grant product, for example. How is empowering people's use of that relationship tool to manage grants and think about that piece? How does a vision of empowerment kind of realize itself in that particular part of what you do?
Yeah, so this is things like not making decisions for people, but raising information up to them that help them make their decisions more effectively, right? And helping them get through the information More quickly. It's also about helping to remove some of the tedious, time-consuming things that they might be doing so that they can focus their time and energy where they really need to be spending most of it. So, for example, we have a one of the things that we released recently is this ability to upload documents, and then the AI will automatically read the document and extract information for it. What does this do for the applicant? It saves them time on the tedious filling out fields, right? Just the copying data entry piece, and lets them focus on things like what's their mission, what's their project plan, what's the story that they want to tell when they're asking for this grant.
And Sam, do you have thoughts on that empowering language and how you connect with people on it?
Yeah, for sure. And what I would offer, Steve, even if I were to take one step up here, is like I just wanted to call out that like for Submittable, it was really important that we start thinking about AI from the perspective of like responsible use. Like here in the nonprofit sector, it won't come as a surprise to anyone that like funders and nonprofits and the communities that we serve, like we spend a lot of time thinking about equity and ethics and responsibility, right? So rather than just diving right in and beginning to create functionality within our own platform that takes advantage of AI capabilities out there, we felt like it was critical that we thought about like what are our values related to artificial intelligence, and can we make those values reflect the same values of our customers and the nonprofits that they serve and the communities and constituents that they serve? And so Anne did a remarkable job of coming up with these five principles, and they really serve as like our North Star and a roadmap that guides our development. So as we go through these and we talk about empowering and the other principles here, like I just wanted to make sure everybody had the context that it was so important to Submittable that we start at that level of thinking about this from a values-based perspective.
Well, and that word empowering is always a little tricky for me as we think about the nonprofit sector, because I feel like it gets a little overused and people don't maybe give it the weight that it really deserves. But in part, somebody told me one time that empowering sort of has the idea that I have power and I am going to let you have some, as opposed to you have your power and we're recognizing that without interfering in it, right? You already have your own agency, you already have your own ideas, your own mission, all the rest of it, and we're going to not try to take that from you. We're going to allow you to take the power that you already have and utilize it in a way that really makes sense for you. So I hear you, Anne, as you're using this very specific example of I'm going to upload a document that has a lot of the core information about all the rest of it, but I've already written and decided what that core information says. Mission statement is mine, the program descriptions are mine, all that stuff. This machine is then going to understand where those things fit into formats that different grantors may want and help by pre-populating some of those things and allow me to still have all of the control over is that the right message and all those answers, but to save myself a little bit of time in having to actually plunk it into pieces, if that might be a particular example.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's the important thing here is that it's not about us having control and then parsing it out. It's very much about us saying, here's what we can do to support you. I like the example of like cars versus walking. You can do the similar thing with like if you want to go somewhere, you could walk there or you could take a car. But if you take a car, you're going to get there faster. You can take a friend with you, right? You can take more stuff with you and it's going to cost you less effort. That's the idea. It's not, the idea here isn't like something that's taking over a person's action, but instead just helping them be more efficient and effective with the actions that they are taking.
Yeah. And Steve, I would add to that as well. Like when we talk about empowerment, I think it's important to recognize that there has been this major power imbalance between funders and nonprofits really since the dawn of time, right? The funders are the ones that have all the resources. The nonprofits are those organizations who have to go out and find those resources so they can achieve their mission. And so the way that we tend to think about this at Submittable is what can we do to try to help level that playing field or reduce the power imbalance? And one of the things that we've heard directly from our customers, the funders, the grantors, is like continually find ways that we can develop a platform that is more applicant-centric and that reduces that grantee burden that we've been talking about for decades now. And for us, artificial intelligence is a way of empowering our nonprofit applicants by like giving them tools that enable them to put their best foot forward, to create applications and apply for funding and with as little effort as possible so that they can take those resources and apply them back towards achieving their mission, right? We want nonprofits to spend more time thinking about their mission and their strategic work in the communities, much more so than spending a lot of time and energy and money applying to get the funding in the first place.
Outstanding. Well, let's move on to a couple of the other examples that you've kind of built this conversation around to have people thinking about things, including accountability as a principle here. And I want to start by mentioning this is such early days around the expansion of the scope of this technology that there's been things that have been called artificial intelligence and machine learning for a lot of years, but honestly, the what's capable of happening today is so different from 2 years ago, from certain certainly from 3 or 4 years ago, that that question mark about who's to have that accountability around the use of these tools and how it works is a newer thing to really work through. And you get the weird examples of lawyers that used an AI tool to draft a brief and it lied for them, and they like, well, it's the AI tool's fault. It's not my fault. I didn't do it. Like, aren't you the one that decided to use the AI tool and didn't check what the AI tool did? And isn't there some accountability there? So, as you think about it in your context and in the context of the sector, how do you lift up accountability as one of these principles?
Yeah, so I think accountability has really two major components to it. The first one is what you were just talking about, which is this idea that the users of the tool are responsible for how they use it. And so one of the, and this kind of leads into one of our other principles, which we'll talk about a little bit more, I hope. When we think about transparency, part of why that goes hand in hand with accountability is people can't be accountable if they don't know they're using the tool. And so we want to make sure on our platform that people are aware, but also what appropriate use is and how to use it responsibly, and that they are conscientiously saying, like, yes, I actually have looked at what this AI does and I'm happy with it. I'm ready to go forward. So, for example, we have a one of our features is this autofill where you can store previous answers, and when you get a new application, it will match up those answers to your new questions. And but before you can submit it, you have to sign off and say, like, yes, I looked at those answers. Those are the ones I want to submit. There's a second piece of accountability, though, that I think really doesn't get talked about as much as it should inside of the space. And that has to do with our accountability to make sure our models are performing the way we expect them to. And so what this looks like for us is constant monitoring of their performance. And that's not just a computer system running in the background going to alert us when something's wrong, but actually proactively looking at it as well. And so what this means is, we're watching to see, is this performing the way we want? But it's not just technical people looking at it. It's also us engaging subject matter experts, domain experts to understand, is this performing the way we expect it to? And understanding that we want to know if it starts to do something that we're not expecting or not undesirable, as early and quickly as possible so that we can take action to remedy that.
Yeah. And another aspect of accountability is we actually did a lot of research with our customers and with their applicants to really understand, like, what are you excited about and what are you nervous about when it comes to artificial intelligence? And what we learned was that, our grantors are really nervous that applicants are going to use AI in a way that completes applications in an inauthentic way. Like it generates descriptions that may not truly be what they're intending. And our applicants are equally concerned that grantors are going to use AI to make decisions about their applications, and that those decisions are going to be made in a way that is inequitable. So an example might be using a bot to look for a keyword in an application. And if that keyword isn't discovered, then the application gets automatically rejected. And so for Anne and I and the whole company, one of the ways we're thinking about accountability with AI in our platform is that it's intended to enhance the work of our customers, who are the grantors, and it's intended to enhance the work of applicants, but it's not intended to make key decisions. Those will always get left to real people.
So let me ask you about a specific example of where it might be useful for a funder to employ a tool like this because of the volume of things coming through. Your platform was selected by Yield Giving, right, for this their premier round as they went out to try and understand what it's like to ask for applications. This is for folks that may not know Yield Giving. You probably do know the name Mackenzie Scott, and it was the first time that they've actually entertained the idea of you may apply to us versus she's deployed whatever other tools to make her philanthropic gifts before. So go to Submittable and put this thing together. Me and one gajillion other charities, submitted in that round. I mean, there were so many people. One of the tactics that Yield used was some peer-supported review. So there was actual other humans that were involved in that process to try and provide some level of screening and feedback because there was just so much work to do. But even after that round, there was a lot to review. And I imagine maybe there is an example of can putting some tools to work lift some of the burden off of the number of people so that they can get closer to things that they want to have more in-depth conversations about just because of sheer volume. So is that something you hear about from people that use the platform, that just the volume of applications is a part of the problem that they're trying to work through?
Yeah, we tend to get that more like in the government space. So we have hosted grant applications on behalf of large government agencies and state governments that have received as many as hundreds of thousands of applications. And so, from an AI perspective or an automated review perspective, again, the idea isn't that the system is ever making a decision. It's that the system is assisting people to like ensure is all the information there. Is the information in the right format? Like, did anybody not answer a question that should have been answered? Or, is there, can we use machines and tools to help, identify something that might be a red flag in an application? And so that's not, I would say that's not necessarily unique to artificial intelligence. Like that sort of capability has been around for a while. I think AI will continue to enhance that sort of work. One thing about the Yield Giving. So our customer is Lever for Change, who is a division of the MacArthur Foundation, and Yield Giving worked directly with Lever for Change on that open call. So it was Mackenzie Scott's first ever open call. We're extremely proud to have had the opportunity to work with Lever for Change on that.
So, as you think about this, people in the loops and continuous improvement things, and are there other parts of how these tools come in that you think about in how the accountable nature of this principle gets applied in how this work not only is happening today, but maybe how it changes moving forward?
I love your previous question because it really makes me think about one of the major points here, which is it actually helps us choose what we do and don't build, which sounds funny, but we really strongly believe that it's important to live into the principles first. We lead with those. And so if we're not confident that we can live into them, we're not going to build something. And that's a big difference, I think, than the way for a long time AI has happened, where a lot of it has been like, we're doing it because we can do it without that question of should we do it right now? And so, as you know, what I expect is that as the technology evolves and as our understanding and use and comfort level with it, and I say our meaning broad population wise, as that evolves, our interpretation of these principles may evolve as well. But we're really conscientious with starting with where we are as an organization, sort of where the technology is, but where our users are as well, and making sure that we are being on the, I don't know, I almost want to say conservative side, in the sense of really making sure that first the principles are adhered to, and then we're using the technology to bring forward as much capability as we can.
Makes sense. So let's move from that one to the transparent as a important principle here. How did this one make the list? What was your thought process in engaging this as one of the key principles?
Yeah, so transparent was really about making sure that people actually know that they're interacting with AI and that they are aware of how to use it and where the faults might lie with it. In the end, I don't know how people can make good decisions if they aren't informed. And so this might be my own personal bias, right? But I very strongly believe that you have to give people the information that they can make choices. And it doesn't mean that the information is forced upon everyone, but it means that it is available and that our system is letting them know this is a touch point. This is when you're interacting with AI. And with that transparency comes this ability to say, I don't want to at this point in time. I choose not to do it. And together, I think that leads to really strong decision making. And it also helps us be accountable because that's where if our customers know when they're interacting with AI and what's going on, they also have the ability to raise their hand and say, hey, I don't feel comfortable with this, or I'm worried about how this might be used. That gives us the opportunity to look into it and to consider it more deeply.
So, Sam, as you're thinking through that transparency piece, is part of it talking about other people bringing AI-generated content to the platform before they start interacting with you? Because I imagine there are some folks that are taking those grant applications, going off to whichever flavor of AI they might use, and getting some original things. Do you ask them to, connect like there was some AI drafting involved here, or is that not part of how transparency works with this tool?
I don't think it's part of it today. Like we don't, I don't think we have any control over sort of, how an applicant puts together any wording or their application prior to coming into our system. But to reiterate what Anne was saying, like we do give everybody the opportunity to be made clearly aware when AI is being used within the system, and then the ability to click a box to opt out of using that if they choose to. It feels really like we're at such an interesting point in time right now. Like there is, tools are readily available out there, whether it's ChatGPT and Bing or any of the other tools that are emerging out there. Like it's going to be, I don't know that there's an answer for this yet, or that we're beginning to see patterns yet, Steve, but, just thinking through the capabilities that applicants have to leverage AI in putting together their proposals, it sort of strikes me that you can't start with a blank page and expect AI to put together an amazing application for you. Like, it's not difficult for reviewers to see through the inauthenticity of some of the wording and some of the proposals that are out there. So if you're not starting from a place of having a theory of change or having a logic model or having reportable impact from prior projects that you've done, if you don't have any of that, AI is not going to be a great tool for you to get started with. It will be an interesting opportunity to take data that you already have and leverage AI in a way that helps you connect better with grantees and with funders.
So in transparency, and this isn't exclusive to just what you're doing at Submittable, but again, these other platforms out there, I think that there's that question mark of, okay, what if I do contribute my text into that tool? Is this now part of your training model? Is this now going to influence other people's thinking about how my program description is suddenly becoming available to other people to as a suggested response? If I, upload this information, it's not mine anymore. It now belongs to whatever AI model I input it into as part of the prompts system. Do users get a chance to see, like, well, if you give us this information, it becomes part of this thing, or no, you can opt out of that by doing an anonymous query, or, how do you think about the transparency and what happens to the information they do give you when they're using these tools?
So I actually think a part of that is also really data security as well, privacy
Yeah.
and security for people.
Point.
And for us, we just don't share their data with the tools back.
Oh, okay.
And so, part of it is conservatism again. Like there's been some data leaks for people in the past. We don't want to be responsible for that. Part of that is about how we protect our users though and their privacy, because with one some of these generative models especially, if you feed information and you just can't guarantee that that information is going to remain private. And so we're going to err on the side of we want to make sure that we're handling our users' data responsibly and we're not sending it to somewhere where it might be leaked out or be used by someone else.
Sam, do you have any thoughts about how other tools may, again, sort of that transparency of what are you planning to do with it if I share it? And now your tool, you're telling people ahead of time, apparently, we will not be reintegrating any text entry that you're doing into a model that might in the future be changed as a result of your input. But not everybody does that. How do you see that impacting the sector, or how does it continue to shape what you're thinking about just with your tools?
Yeah, it's a great question. One of the things that I get to do in my role at Submittable is I actually spend a lot of time talking to Submittable's competitors, and that would be like many other grants platforms. And in the nonprofit sector, and for those technology platforms who service the nonprofit sector, like we tend to be pretty open about what we're doing. I've spoken with many of the other grants platforms out there just to get a sense of like where they're coming from, and sort of going back to the original topic of like, having a responsible use framework. It in the nonprofit sector, like I think if that's not your first instinct, if that's not your initial approach, is to say like, let's clearly define what's ethical and what's not ethical about the way that we are going to employ AI in our platforms, then it's going to be a non-starter with many customers and many users. And so, I don't know what everybody's going to do out there, but I would also be very surprised if, like, many of the technology platforms who serve the nonprofit sector are not also thinking about these types of things.
Well, I appreciate the conversation on transparency, both with what you're doing to provide assistance to people, but also, if I choose to engage in it, what are the, pluses and minuses to me as a organizational user, and maybe even as an individual. And Anne, I really appreciate your bringing up that security question, that where hopefully people are not putting very sensitive information into these tools, you may even be putting less sensitive information in ways that end up being more logically incriminating against, somebody, something, somewhere. And it is good to really think through those impacts before you realize later on, like, oh, I didn't think what I was sharing was particularly sensitive. But now that I figure out, it can be interpreted very easily to mean, oh, they meant those people specifically, not this folks in general, because I wasn't careful about how I used my data. Good thinking on that, and I really appreciate it. Which kind of leads very, kind of logically to this question of equity. You've got equitable as a key principle here, and so many thoughts and so much happening in this conversation. So how do you begin the conversation with people that ask you, what does equitable mean to you as you talk about these principles?
Yeah, so equity is really about bringing balance or the intended balance to the situation. It was funny because a lot of people were like, when you say equity, do you mean bias? And I was like, no, I don't mean that it will be unbiased, because sometimes things might be biased intentionally. So if we think about where, focusing on a program that wants to address a certain demographic or a certain cause, that will be a biased program, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. Equity is more about bringing the right resources to the right people at the right time and helping us build the platform and the intention behind the AI, but also our conversations around it in a way that helps us talk about how we serve populations, by who those populations are and what they need. And so this sometimes looks like doing things like building accessibility, right? It might look like choosing to, like I said, being intentionally biased for a particular reason, or it might be choosing to be intentionally non-biased. But it's really about the focus of intentionally, what is the impact, and who are the people impacted, and how are they impacted by what we're doing?
So that word impact, Sam, is in your job title. How does the concept of equitable come into that impact question as you talk to people?
Oh man, I think we could spend another hour on that.
Yeah.
Like, one of the ways that I tend to get ex one of the reasons I get excited about AI in platforms like Submittable is that so many of our users and applicants come from small nonprofit organizations that are not well resourced and don't necessarily, have people on staff that are like professional philanthropists or professional fundraisers, right? They're like, you know, ordinary people in the community who come together because there is a issue that they want to help solve. And so I think that AI has this tremendous capacity to help build capacity for these under-resourced organizations, and that it has the, you know, potential of helping them save time by automating administrative tasks. And we're super excited about exploring how AI, even within our own platform, might be able to help, you know, pair together the most likely funders with the most likely applicants. And we're excited about opportunities for how AI might be able to help some of these small, under-resourced nonprofit organizations sort of crack the code, right? Like, you know, I think most of us know there's this secret language of philanthropy. And if you've been involved in philanthropy for many years, you know, there are terms and there's a whole vocabulary. And when you're seeking funding, it's often expected that your application reflect that secret language and that you're using the vocabulary. And I think there's a potential for AI to be able to really help small nonprofits who may not have, you know, the deep educational background or years of experience, you know, or the extensive resources that the largest nonprofits have when they're seeking funding. And so I'm super excited when it comes back to this, you know, value of being equitable, just to discover how AI can help these smaller nonprofits by leveling the playing field a little bit.
Can either of you think of an example of how that might play out in the real world? I'm really interested in that particular idea, but it's challenging to sort of you know, think about a philanthropy translation engine. You know, I say I want to do this, please translate that to philanthropy speak for me. You know, how does that work?
Yeah, I don't know that it's been built yet, but
Okay.
if I were building this, Steve, you know, maybe I would start with a, you know, some sort of AI engine that would say like, you know, help me understand your mission and let's translate that into you know, a logic model or a theory of change, and then let's figure out like how to translate that theory of change into, you know, actionable projects. You know, let's use AI to discover like what are the greatest needs in your local community and what are the opportunities for your nonprofit to help better meet those needs, right? We can use AI, speaking of impact, to look at thousands of other grant applications or progress reports to find information and data about like the most effective interventions, right? And then make it easy for small nonprofits to better understand like how those most effective interventions have worked. So typically these take many, many people with deep experience and lots of education, you know, to evaluate the data to try to come up with that information. And I think that it's not going to be very long until AI is able to look at this data and find these hidden insights and make them readily available to all nonprofits, regardless of their size or, you know, how experienced they may be.
And do you have things you want to add on that?
I think it'll be very interesting. I think one of the most powerful things that we can do with AI and this new generation of models, and it is very new, so I think we also have to give it a little bit of chance to mature. But one of the most exciting things it can do is sift through large volumes of information to pull insights out. And so I think as it, you know, as it matures, I think there's a really great potential for those types of deeper analysis to be done at scale for people.
I do think we've got a long history in the sector of, you know, this power dynamic you were talking about earlier, Sam, of larger scale charities may say, well, you know, we think this is an important problem to solve. We are therefore having a grant round that asks you, you know, come in if you have ideas on how to solve this problem and do that. And then there are charities on the ground going, well, that's a problem. But you're not giving me the chance to talk about this other problem that we feel like is really impacting people even more because of how you're, you know, scaling this question or what you're bringing in. And, you know, the long-standing controversy over just general operating support for good missions as opposed to programmatic-based support and all of those things that are not necessarily, related specifically to AI tools, but I do think that they do impact the equity of the conversation of, you use the question of like, well, maybe we could say like, what's the most impact on a community? It's like, well, the most impact on a community may not be what that funder has allowed you to apply for. That could be the thing that's out there even more. And that's not a fault of the tool, but it is a way of helping to think through this. One of the organizations I'm supporting right now is pursuing a harm reduction model in northern Minnesota, which really works for people that are victims in this opioid crisis of not necessarily having an abstinence-only approach. And there's an awful lot of philanthropy out there that are like, wait a minute, you're going to let people continue to use? No, you're not allowed to have a conversation. Like, if we get the data together and show you, this is the thing that's probably going to keep people alive while we're getting through to other solutions and other things. So that, that model, that tool, all the rest of it has to kind of come from a place of equity and values that doesn't really even let the conversation happen if the funder isn't opened the door wide enough. So I don't think that that's a fault of any of this conversation, but I do want to raise it that we're working within a framework here of traditional philanthropy that, has its own sets of bias, that has its own impact on equity. And I think, that's a challenge. Let me give you a specific example of that maybe is more directly related here, because I do think that there are a lot of funders and supporters out there that are talking about wanting to support charities that are led by people of color, that are led by people of marginalized genders, that have different experiences in life. But so far, the research that I've seen hasn't caught up with that goal, right? That a lot of the money is still kind of going to more traditional established charities as opposed to newer ones that might have more leadership like this. I've had some podcast conversations about philanthropy within the Native American community, very specifically, for example, where they can talk about the amount of money that actually goes into Native-led charities is so dramatically disproportionate to both need and population. But this conversation about equity, transparency, tools, all the rest of it, I don't know that that gets to these problems other than how the applications might surface leadership and intentionality in community. Is that part of what could come out of this, Anne?
Yeah, I think so. So you may be familiar with an initiative at Candid. It's called Demographics by Candid. And the idea is that Candid is making it really easy for all nonprofit organizations to be able to provide demographic data about their staff and their board of directors and leadership and communities that they serve. And it's important because we're beginning to see, especially like as trust-based philanthropy sort of catches fire, and we're seeing more and more funders that are interested in taking more of this trust-based approach. Like funders are beginning to look for this demographic level data in the form of applications. And it can be a very inequitable process when we request nonprofits to continually enter that demographic data over and over for every single application that they enter, right? So, through APIs and through emerging tool sets like AI, we can make it really simple for organizations to enter that data once in a repositories like Candid and then easily import it into every grant application so that funders can begin to see and measure how they are responding, whether it's to, nonprofits that are led by people of color or to causes that are affecting communities of color. I don't know that it exists yet in the form of AI, but I can't help but believe that as AI continues to mature, it's going to make it so much more simple. Perhaps nonprofits don't even have to enter that data. It already exists somewhere, and we can use AI to go to websites and to comb other data sets and easily discover this information and make it easy for an applicant to populate a grant application, with this sort of relevant data that will eventually help funders make grants in a more equitable way.
Okay, we are starting to run a little low on time, and we still have a whole point on private and secure that we haven't had a chance to dive into yet. So, Anne, how does this particular piece kind of wrap up these five principles for you?
Yeah, so private and secure, as I mentioned before, is really about how we handle the data and what we do with it. And so first, we're committed to, following all of the software world's best practices, world-class, software security and privacy practices. The other piece of it, though, is what I mentioned before about not sharing people's private data back with models that are going to learn from it, especially and particularly those models that are going that would have a potential of what I call leaking that data or sharing that data back out again. And so what this means is all through our process, both from when we are evaluating models or testing or building a new model, all the way through it actually being running in production, we're handling people's private information as private information. The security never loosens up on that. And this is really important because in the end, part of this is about trust. It's not just trust that the model or that the AI is going to do the thing, right? But it's trust in us as an organization that we're going to handle people's data as they would want it handled and to respect that. And so that's the last very important piece. And I think it's so critical because although sometimes it might sound like foundational table stakes, like this is something we have to do, it can also be something that's really easy to be overlooked, especially when you get into the hype and the excitement of AI and what can be done with it.
Sam, do you have thoughts on that part?
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate that everything that Anne is saying, like it is formidable, like extremely important that we're thinking about data privacy, data security, especially as AI begins to play more of a role in the functionality that we're developing. Like as we serve the nonprofit sector, I am especially sensitive that this data that makes its way into our systems belongs to the communities, you know, that are producing that data. It's not just from the nonprofit, but it's for the people that they're serving. And so, you know, it's extremely important to us that we go to great lengths to make sure that we are protecting that community's data, that we're not being extractive about it, you know, that we are finding ways to ensure that the owners of the data always have control of that data, you know, and as Anne has said, that we are not, you know, intentionally or inadvertently feeding that data back into a system where it could become publicly available and used for purposes that the owners would not be proud of.
Right. So we just have a minute or so left. As people are wrapping up their thinking on this, and we'll have links in the show notes to learn more about Submittable and where your thinking is on this. This is evolving rapidly. And how do you advise people to kind of keep track of what these tools are doing, what you might be rolling out as a part of your work here? Where do people stay informed?
Yeah, so we have on our website a blog that's up and running. But beyond that, I think that, you know, there's a number of news outlets and there's general conversation. So one of the things that I've found has been probably the most impactful and meaningful opportunities for me, even as somebody who works directly in this field, around AI, is having a network of people to talk to and communicate and connect with, right? Because it's not just about, you know, it all happens so fast and there's so much, you're not going to possibly be able to keep up on all of it by yourself. But if you have resources that you can connect with who are also thinking about these things, you can knowledge share and have conversations that get pretty deep. And that also help you really think through where you should be thinking and spending time and kind of raising those questions. Because it's very easy to just sort of sit back and trust that it's all going to be fine and don't worry, the experts have it. But I think everybody can get overly excited sometimes. And when you get too excited about things, you can sometimes make maybe not the best decisions, right? And so having some of those really serious conversations with people that are kind of in your trusted group, I think helps a lot.
Yeah, and I would just add at Submittable, like all of the work that we're doing around AI is coalescing into an initiative that we call AI for the Greater Good. And if you are curious to see what we're up to, and if you'd like to review these principles that Anne has introduced, it's submittable.com/AIs. Super easy to get to, and everything that we're doing around AI will make its way right here onto the website. So we're being super transparent, and everyone can stay abreast of what we're doing and how we're thinking.
Outstanding. We will have that link in the show notes. So if you're listening to this on your podcast app of choice, then just scroll into those notes. You can get a direct link to that. I really want to thank both of you for taking the time to help talk through what you're doing there and how it impacts the sector in general. Anne Neese is the Director of Science for Submittable. Sam Kaplan is the Vice President for Social Impact for Submittable. Thank you both for your time today.
Thank you,
Steve. Thank you. This has been a great conversation.